We were for some time having the big waters on both sides of our borders on the east and west. But in 9/11, 2001, right, was it? That happened, that we found out, you know what, we are susceptible to terrorism. We knew that already from Pearl Harbor. Come on, guys. You know what? We have got ourselves lulled into thinking like, you know, who we are and nobody's going to mess with us. But generally, the people that are dealing with this type of mentality today, they're twisted. They're brainwashed into understanding of how they can overtake the world and how they're going to overtake the Gentiles. And how they're going to come in, and most of it is all done by coming in very quiet, and they infiltrate groups of people, whether it's in Europe, you know, in South America. Europe has got a big situation going on over there, but you know what? We've got a large situation going on in America, and I'm not sounding the alarm that, you know, all these Muslims are bad people, but there are a group within them, just like there is a group within Christianity that's bad, amen. I mean, there's some radical Christians that I wouldn't want to be associated with because of what they do and how they feel that the word of the Lord is to them and how they're going to present it, you know. I don't go along with the Christians that are radicals. Well, you know, the Muslims can't go along with the Muslims that are radical either, can they? But, you know, we've got these things happening in our nation, and we think we've been isolated for so many years that we can kind of just rest and let all that dealing go on over there. But it's going to come to our shores, and it already has. The next thing I was thinking about is, oh my goodness, here we've got this thing coming out this past week. We got all this uprising over in Syria, and there's so much happening. Could you imagine what they call chatter going on? And I know there's being safe upon the embassies in foreign lands, but 9/11 anniversary is coming up this week. I think Wednesday, isn't it? Now, whether something will happen or not, I don't know. But it's all these things are happening, and we've got to remember where we've come from to understand where we're going. I think those are those things that even in our Christian walk, you got to remember where you've come from and knowing where you're going. Well, you know, as we look at some of these things that have happened to America, it behooves us to be the watchmen and to be praying ahead of the time rather than after the event of happening. We know that back when 9/11 happened, my goodness, churches were filled. The steps of Congress and all this White House and Capitols, people were praying. Well, yeah, that's good. But wouldn't it have been great had we been praying before that and had unity in prayer and the power of prayer and allowing God to be the God of what this nation was founded upon, you know, and being sensitive to those things. Could you imagine when we had that time of prayer after 9/11 that somebody from the ACLU stood up and said, no, I don't want people praying on the Capitol steps. These are my steps for the whole people. Well, where was the ACLU when all that was going on? They went back in the corner because they knew that there was a powerful force that they couldn't reckon with. I don't recall much being done with the ACLU during the weeks or days after 9/11 and all the prayer going on in every city and community and steps of capitals and churches were filled. And man, there were, you know, we had people praying all over. But then when it kind of calms down and everything gets back to normal, you know, the ACLU and all these, you know, freedom from religion people, they all want to come back out. Take those things off the Capitol steps. Don't allow the Ten Commandments to be out there. Don't ask for prayer here. Don't start any community meeting with prayer. Don't do all that. But let there be a tragic event, and prayer will prevail. So we find in these things that the Elijah list had talked about and Linda has brought up basically everything that they had talked about there and what they were sharing and what we need to be praying for and being attentive to. We find that Psalms 122:6. And we wonder what is, you go look at a map of the Middle East and these countries that are in just total upheaval and look for the smallest country there that's there between all of it. And guess what? It's Israel. You can hardly see it on the map. You know, it's not even big enough to where they can put Israel in the thing. Like, you know, Egypt goes right where Egypt is at. You know, Syria, right where Syria's at. You know, you can put the whole name where these countries are at. You get to Israel, it's a name that's off into the water with an arrow going over to where Israel's at. It's a very small country, but it's a very powerful country, amen. It's very important to the plans and the things that God has. So that's why as a nation, we're very, should be very attuned to keeping Israel on our good side. And how do you do that? Pray for them. You know, as a nation, for many years, we were, you know, as far as, what do they call that? Allies, you know, with Israel. Now Israel's an ally with us, you know. And the last few years, that's kind of had some separations in those, or some things feeling like, well, maybe, you know, distancing ourselves from some of the things what Israel is doing. And not just the last administration or current administration, but the last several times, there was some things changing and not staying strong to the things of Israel. Anytime Israel would attack back, it was always they were the bad guys, but you never heard anything when the Palestinians or the bad people were lobbying things into Israel. It was like, not a problem at all, but when Israel retaliates, what happens? Well, they shouldn't be doing that. What are they doing? You know, it's kind of like what it happens, you know, that it just seems like the good is called bad, the bad is called good, and the good is called bad. We find that in God's word. So we find in his word, and there's throughout the word, but in Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Pray is to inquire. Pray is to request. Pray is to desire, a wish for, a demand. So we ask that for the peace of Jerusalem, to be at peace, to remain at peace. But as we pray for direction and wisdom for our leadership here, we need to pray for direction and leadership for those in Israel as well. And for every country, for every government within this world's makeup that has values of not genocide, you know, that treat people fairly, that you know, come together as a union. And that's gotten so watered down. You know, we got the United Nations, but what are they really doing? You know, those atrocities have been going on for years. Rwanda has had how many, Somalia or Rwanda has had how many people butchered and murdered? You know, genocide, tens of thousands. And somehow the world as a whole turns its back to that, and it's like, well, it's all okay, or they're fighting amongst themselves. Well, then we get this situation within Syria, and all of a sudden now it's becoming front page news, and now we got to do something about it. And you know what? I wish I had the answer, but I don't. But I know who has, and I know where I can go, and I know where I can go to where I can feel somewhat comfortable saying, I've done what I can do as Joe Citizen. I can pray to my God. I can pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I can pray for Israel. I can pray, Lord, protect these nations that are peaceful nations. These nations that, you know, Lord, they need your guidance. They need your protection. We as America need your protection. We as America need your guidance. We have leadership. We've got a president. He's not a king, but he's a president. And we need your wisdom and knowledge to be infiltrated into his thoughts and his heart to know what is the right answer and what is the right response. You know, because I, just like anybody else out here, I've heard both sides of everything that it would be good to do it with the missiles, and I've heard that it would be bad to do it with the missiles. And what were you, or who would you, if you were a leader of a country that had the power to make that decision, what would you do? Better be praying right. Better be seeking God. You better be, you know, not sleeping well at night probably for a while. You better be, you know, on your knees before God and ask for wisdom and surround yourself with men and women of faith or something, of prayer or something, you know. You got to have that because it's a monumental decision, whatever it is. Whether you retaliate or you don't, it's a monumental decision. It sets the course for the next 10 years, 5 years, whatever the case might be. And so that is the importance of us praying for our leadership. Forget the Republican and Democrat. Forget that you don't like the man or the woman. Forget all of those things, because you know what? When it comes right down to where we're at today, God's not concerned with that. If God's not concerned with it, why should you be? Why can't we just say, Lord, he's the president, or she's the president, whoever is in the office at the time that we're praying for them, and Lord, I just pray for your wisdom, I pray for your peace and understanding to guide and to lead and to direct them. Father, I pray that their spirit would be drawn to you. Amen. The Lord has that power, the Lord has that ability to draw anybody he wants to him. Even some of those that don't want to go. There were some of you out here before you got saved. You didn't want to get close to God, but guess what? He kept wooing you and drawing you, didn't he? Until finally you said, oh, I see it now. I saw the light, I saw the light. Yeah, finally you saw the light. So he wooed you, he drew you, he stayed with you until he finally said, Tim, are you going to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And Tim finally said, that's what I need, and that's what I want. Thank you for having mercy and grace to keep hanging on for me, Lord, you know. And so, no matter who, power, the whatever, generals, presidents, whoever, the Lord can draw them by the Spirit on his time and his abilities. He may do that through working through people around them. He may have those as those that are Christians, those that are followers of Christ in their areas of command or in their areas of cabinets or whatever, be able to share positive things, good things, the seed, plant a word, amen, into that life, and little by little it'll be watered and it'll grow, and before you know it, ho, hallelujah, we might have a president that comes to Christ. Amen. We might have, you know, the cabinet of Congress, we might have senators, all these people that are unsaved, all of a sudden they might just begin to say, we need you, Jesus. And the way that's going to happen is by keeping them in prayer. By that is by, don't you pray for the sinner? Don't you pray for those in your family that are lost? Don't you remember them not every day, but maybe throughout the day or once or twice a month? I don't know. When you've got an unsaved loved one, don't you every once in a while say to the Lord, Lord, I just pray for little Billy. That, Lord, he will have a relationship with Jesus one of these days, and I pray it's more sooner than later. We do that with friends and neighbors and people that we know, people we work with. Well, why can't we do that for our leaders? Not maybe every day, but a conscious effort to know that if we want the peace, if we want to live in prosperity, if we want the blessings of God upon our land, we better be praying for those that are in leadership over our land. Because whether we like it or not, they've been put there for a purpose and a reason. It's not for me to understand and understand why. I do know that when people lack to follow the Lord, when people lack to hear him, when people lack to be obedient to him, he will let them go their ways and decide what road you want to be on, until you have enough of that road and desire to get back to his path. So as a nation, has that happened within our leadership and our presidential things? I don't know. But I do know that in his word, and Linda, thank you for bringing it in 1 Timothy, was it? 2:1. Pray for those in authority. Pray for the king. Well, we don't have a king. We got a president. Remember, this was written back in those times. Back then, they wouldn't even know what a word of a president. What's a president? Because they had kings and rulers. So as this was written back in that time, the verbiage and the intensity of the words was pertinent to what they had for leadership at those times. But you find that a king is the same as a leader of a nation, a leader of a country. What's the president? A leader of a nation, a leader of a country. Matter of fact, the most powerful, you know, the freest nation. And I don't know where we're at with the most powerful, but years ago, the most powerful free nation in the entire world. So we do find in Psalms 122:6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then Linda shared about the praying for the authorities. And we find out, what's the effectiveness of prayer? You know, Isn't it a shame that you talk to people that are Christian brothers and sisters, or they say they are, and they go to church and all, and you mention prayer to them, and they go, well, gosh, you know, we pray over food, and we pray, you know, when somebody dies, that's about it. Or we don't really pray a whole lot. It's like, why not? We got to look at this thing to where it says the effectiveness of prayer. Prayer has power over everything. Do you believe that? Prayer has power over everything. Prayer has power over your life, over your family's life, over your situation, whatever situation it is. Prayer has power over your job. Prayer has power over your health. Amen. As we go to prayer, when something happens that we need an answer, or when we need something better than what we got, we go to prayer. When we got the best of what we ever need, we go to prayer with thanksgiving. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this blessing. Thank you for the health of my body. Thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for a job. Thank you for a wonderful family. Thank you for a thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, Lord. And then all of a sudden, maybe we lose a job. Lord, I'm coming because you know that I need a job to supply for my family. And I'm coming to you, Lord, in prayer because I know there's effectiveness in it. God can intelligently act in any part of the universe or human history, although some people think prayer is a waste of time. Isn't that sad? That some people that think prayer is just, what do they probably think you're doing? Just speaking into the breeze, you know? But the Bible declares that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails little. Much! M-U-C-H, much. James 5:16 tells us that. So what we've got to do, the Bible is already declaring something that if we do, it's going to happen. The Word of God does so much of that for us that He declares the things that He will do for us if we just do these things. If I look at and I come to Him and I'm the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, you know, it's going to avail much. So when I go to prayer, when you go to prayer, I hope you're figuring, I tell you what, Lord, I know you're hearing my prayer. Why do I know that? Because Jesus is there at the right hand of you. My Lord and Savior is interceding for me. Matter of fact, you even know before I pray what I'm going to pray. But I want to hear what I'm going to pray. So I'm verbally going to speak it out. Lord, take care of this situation. Lord, guide this situation. Lord, direct this area. Lord, strengthen this. And then when we get into those areas of I don't know how to pray, with this situation, you know, have you begin to find out that a lot of things in our lives, and I don't know if it's the last decade or what, but it just seems to be like you don't know how to pray, really. I mean, it's all over the room or the wall or the charts, I guess. Of, well, do I pray it this way because I think this is the way? Or, well, no, maybe not because this has that and, well, there's a little bit here and a little bit there. And the devil would want nothing more for us to be confused in prayer. Because the devil says, if I can get you confused of trying to figure out what you need to pray and how you need to pray it, you'll be so befuddled, you won't know what to say. And pretty soon you'll just say, I don't know, Lord, you know, take care of it. But then the Lord has given us a special tool, that of the Holy Spirit, by speaking in tongues, by praying in an unknown language, to where when I don't know how to pray for the Middle East, when I don't know how to pray for our president, when I don't know how to pray for Lou or Pat or any of us here, I can go into tongues and just call on the name of the Lord for that and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm saying, but it doesn't matter what I'm saying. All I want to know is I want to be in constant communication with my God, my Lord. And the only way I can do that is either verbally, speaking it where I can hear it and understand it. And if I can't understand it and figure it out, I'm not going to let the devil get the best of me and say, just shut up and don't say nothing. I'm going to revert into my spirit and allow my spiritual language to come forth. And that way the devil's not going to be able to shut me down. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to shut you down in the most important thing in your life, and that's communicating to your God. Because if he can shut you down here, he will keep you confused. He will keep you out of the plan of God. He will get you to where you miss God. He will get you to where your nation that you live in is destroyed. Because he'll get you so confused, you won't know how to pray. You won't want to pray for this person because he's of this party. Or she's said this and I don't agree with that, but I'm not going to pray for them. I'll just let them, just destroy them, Lord. I would never pray for a destruction of our president or our leader of our nation. I pray, Lord, let them see their errors. Bring truth to the forefront. Let them, you know, we all sinned, amen. We have that potential, you know, unless we make a conscious effort to say, no, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to do that. No. You've got that ability within you to know, hey, I'm getting into some areas that I shouldn't be into. And so I want to pray prosperity. I want to pray peace. I want to pray protection. I want to pray truth upon my leadership of my nation, even if they're unsaved. It don't matter, because my God can do all things. So, here we go. What about prayer meeting our inner needs? We find that out that one who prays will receive freedom from fear. Wow. We probably ought to go there, because in this day and age, we got so much happening that it's easy to get wrapped up into fear, isn't it? I mean, this is crazy. I was reading this guy last night on this article on, I don't know if it was on some, I don't know, news site that had this thing of this guy. And it said, it even went to talking about taking family members of around the world of American ministers, and I'm looking at ministers. Would that be me? You know, and taking their children and taking them and murdering them. I mean, this is how crazy this concept is coming out of this particular group of people that's part of, he was part of this group and still that's in charge in Syria, saying that if this is unleashed upon the current government of Syria, we're going to send the word out to all of our contacts around the world that have infiltrated different pockets of organizations and things. That's why this guy was saying that they could take one of the president's children because he, not, you know, probably, who knows, blowing smoke, but saying that there's somebody close enough to the president that they could accomplish that. But I sometimes hold that to, you know, that could be a possibility. Because this type of terror and enemy that we're dealing with is very subversive. And they're very willing to lay low for decades. They will come into an organization and they will stay there for years. But they've been programmed that once we call and tell you the code or whatever it is to respond, they will probably respond. I mean, these are the people that strap bombs onto people and die to blow themselves up for their cause. So you mean to tell me you don't think they would do things like that and they're ruthless and they can care less about life because they're going to go to Allah and have all these virgins and stuff with them and all? It's just ridiculous. But their mind has been so warped that they have believed in this. So anyway, I'm reading this last night. I'm thinking, oh, well, I need to disconnect my telephone because I don't want them to be able to look at my name and find out my address and all that. But it's like, well, they probably already know where I'm at anyway. we're gonna turn off the website. Now, see, you start running in fear. Because these guys say these things to cause fear. Now, it's not that you don't take these things to process them and to think about them. And I'm, you know, some of this stuff is way out there, but there's some other things that I'm sure that they could do within their powers that could be effective quickly. But that's the concept. I started looking at that. And so it's like, hey, one who prays will receive freedom from fear. I was like, let's pray there, Lord. Let's read that, Lord. Because after I just read this, it's like, oh, what did I bring my family into, you know? But you know, those things are happening overseas, man. In India and foreign, you know, Africa and these third world countries, people that are pastors and Christians and things of that nature, they're coming and they're taking their wives and their kids or themselves and just shooting them. But anyway, 118, 5 to 6 says this, I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. Well, I called on the Lord in distress. How many here of you guys have been in distress this week? Might have. You know, if you have, I'm sure you probably need to call on the Lord. It says here, I've called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. And it goes on and on and on. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in a prince. Now, you know, as we look at this, we pray for our leader. I don't put my confidence in the leader. Because if I did that, then I would be looking at my source is what? The leader. I pray for my job, or I would pray for those areas, but I don't put my trust in my job. Because then I would not have to put my trust into him. So we've got to be careful with these things and how and what we do as far as what our trust is in. We will pray, but I will not put my trust in man. For my trust has to be that of in the Lord. So that's an area of freedom from fear. Strength for our soul. Psalms. You know, there's a lot of things in Psalms and the Old Testament. Guidance and satisfaction. These are things, prayer meets the inner needs. Prayer meets inner needs. Deliverance from harm. Joel 2:32. Matthew 6:6 tells us about a reward that has for us. And you can go through these scriptures, and let's look at this. Matthew 6:6, what does that say? Anybody there? Matthew 6:6. Matthew 6:6, it says this. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And then when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And then it gets going into the area of, well, teach us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. As we pray for our president, Lord, let your will be done in the leadership of our nation. As I pray for the situations in the Middle East, I just say, Lord, may your will, let your will be accomplished in that situation, in that section of the world. Move upon the people, you know, that need to be moved upon. But you know, you can't get into it, but that it's such a hotbed of so many things over there. And it goes all the way back to the Old Testament, really. The breakup of all the people and the families and all that, and where the leadership and where some of these nations have come from goes way back into Genesis and the beginning of the Bible. So when we pray these things, I don't think it's going to stop the whole thing of what the plan of what God is going to do at the end times. But we can pray where we're at this current time, because man and some of the things that the enemy wants to do is they want to increase the timetable of what God has. God has this all planned out, but there could be those things that there's man and the involvement of man, and man over there is not following our God. They're following their God and their ways and what they think, and they could be just doing it, you know, sooner than really it should be. And that's why we pray, Lord, let it be your timing. Let it be your will accomplished in these regions. Protect these nations. Protect the governments of those nations over there, Lord. Those countries that, Father, that are good, you know. And, Father, you know, take care of those that are bad. And those that are bad, Lord, move mightily in them and change their hearts. We look at this, guys, and I look in you here today, and everyone that's here, if you've had a new relationship with Christ, you've had a changed heart. Well, he can change the hearts overseas just as well. You know, we sometimes think that this other group of religion and this other group of the gods that they go to and all and speak to somehow is stronger and mightier than ours, and it's not. Our God is still the living God. Our God is still there on the throne. Our God is still looking out for us. You know? came to earth and was given that of a body of Jesus. He was here and he died and he went there and he sat at the right hand of God the Father, presently interceding for us. So we've got the best. And so the things that we pray don't necessarily, you know, what we pray is like, oh, it's going to be impossible. Nothing is impossible with prayer, and especially when we pray what the Lord wants us to pray and we want his will to be done. You can't go wrong when you say, Lord, let thy will be done, can you? And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's that area of Matthew 6:6 talks about a reward, but we had to go to the prayer too, you know. Just there's encouragement in that prayer, isn't there? There's a peace. There's a strength. Because when I pray that and I say, you know, give us our daily bread and keep us from, you know, help us forgive our debt and as you've forgiven us and lead us not in temptation, all these things that I need help with today. So it's not a bad prayer to say. John 16:23-24 will help you with the fullness of joy. We can still walk in joy and the fullness of it, isn't it? Isn't that great that we can do that? You know, everything's going bad and everything's just looking terrible. My goodness. John 16:23. And in the day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And until now, you have asked nothing in my name. And then it ends up with ask and you will receive, and that your joy may be full. So as we speak to the Lord, we say, Lord, and, you know, we ask these things, and Father, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. You know, he's there interceding for us. It says there in his word that, you know, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask. 1 Peter 5:7 will get us into the areas of, you know, freedom from anxiety. All these things that we deal with today, you know, whether it's in the areas of what's going on around the world with hot pockets of problems, or if it's just dealing with the anxiety of our life where we're at in Janesville or Beloit or Wisconsin, you know, the things that we deal with our jobs, our families, our health, friends, whatever the case might be, we have anxieties at times. But this word will help us there, and it talks about freedom from anxiety, and you can, 1 Peter 5:7. We also get into, we may ask or wonder, is prayer effective only in the inner lives of those that we pray, or who pray? No, prayer can make a difference in lives of others. And that's the thing that we understand, that, see, when I pray, that I can pray for others out there, and the word of the Lord will go forth. That's why, you know, he's looking for somebody to pray for the nation, for somebody to stand in that gap, you know. And that's what we're to do, stand in the gap for the nation, stand in the gap for those that are lost, stand in the gap for whatever the case might be. We just need to be that type of an individual that will pray. So we find this, that biblical writers believe prayer for others could result in greater wisdom and power. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. In Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 says this, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So when it's down here, he's calling what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, it's talking about others. As we begin to understand these things, we can pray for other people. Inward strength, the knowledge of Christ's love. You know, there's Ephesians 3:16-19. If you're there, you can go there, but we'll just kind of keep going through some of these areas. We can talk about in Colossians 1:9-12. Let's go to Colossians 1. That's the same book that we're in on Wednesday nights. Colossians 1, 9. For this reason we also, since the day we have heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. Say filled. Filled. That's good to be, man. Filled. With the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and the spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. My goodness. The forgiveness of our sins. That's good. We ought to be excited about that, huh? But that's talking about, you know, wondering if these things are effective for other people, or, you know, when we pray, is it going to make a difference in the lives of others? Linda shared a quiet and a peaceful life, 1 Timothy 2, 1-2, talking about praying for those in authority or kings over you. Some people who think prayer can affect others question the ability of God to change His usual patterns in the physical world. But some prayers in the Bible change nature and physical bodies. We're getting close here to the ending. The prayer of Jabez prayed for the enlarged borders and protection from harm, 1 Chronicles 4:10. Deliverance from poverty, both of poverty and riches, Proverbs 30, 7-9. Daily bread, Matthew 6, 11. Praying for the healing of the sick, James 5, 14-15. Talks about the ending of rain and the beginning of rain. And then we find that when the disciples prayed in Acts 4:31, what happened? When the disciples prayed, the building around them shook. See, there's some power into this area of prayer, isn't there? I wouldn't want this building to shake unless it's that of the Lord. You know? But there could be that possibility. There could be that chance, as you would just really get tuned in and in prayer and allowing the Spirit of God to move, that who knows what's going to happen. We find also that an earthquake opened up the doors of the prison in Acts 16. So we find out that, you know, we can pray, and in our prayers, it can change those things that are out there, things that are outside what we would think as, well, it's not just me. You know, I can pray for myself and it'll take care of that, but can we as a group pray for things outside our realm? And yes, you can. So it gets down to it. Our prayers do make a difference in how God acts in this world. So just as a couple of things to pray about and for this week and the days ahead, it came out of the prayer targets from this one site. It says, as one looks at the prophetic words that came out of the meetings that they just held, it's clear that we are in need of a better intelligence, greater clarity, and the need for those who stand guard over our nation to be awake and alert. This is not a time to be asleep, confused, or distracted. Please agree with us in prayer and continue to decree a supernatural watchman anointing over our intelligence community, the border agents, the customs, the Coast Guard, military, the police, in particular for those who stand guard over the ports along the eastern seaboard. In addition to this, please pray for the peace of Jerusalem and that the war would be averted in the Arab world. I mean, you just look at all the things that have happened, and talking about, you know, we do need to have that prayer for the intelligence of the nation. And just the last month or two back, we had this thing come out about, you know, a guy telling how much the government is snooping and has all this information and phone records and all that. So, you know, is that a ploy within the enemy to just try to get us to the point to where I truly believe to have a secure nation, you got to have agencies and things of this nation listening for the dangers that are about to take place within our country. Amen. And the only way you can do that is by doing a lot of hidden things and things that you do. On one hand, I get aggravated thinking that, they know more than they really need to about Tim, but, I don't know where it goes from there. We live in a society where things have changed drastically and dramatically. So, what I would like for us to do, and just in time, I know Linda has prayed, but as we close this out, if we could just agree in prayer for our nation, for the president and the leadership of our nation to be protected, to have keen understanding and wisdom of what their decisions mean, and whatever the decision is, that we remain solid in it. The Bible talks about, if you're wavering in your thoughts and stuff, it's like a ship being tossed to and fro, right? And so as leadership, whether it's even leadership in a church or leadership in a company, if you go work for a company and the leadership is all over the board and trying to do stuff, it makes you kind of like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this company is going to be around very long, So let's pray for that of our nation and our leadership to be on board with understanding what they're doing, what they need to do, and the totality of it, and not to waver from it. That's the important thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And I'll just pray in closing. We'll receive your offering and giving as you leave. We'll just allow Dan to receive it at the corner as you dismiss yourself. Father, 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 Heavenly Father. Well, Father, we come to you today.